This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Winter meetings happening, lots of conversation around the big names in the game. Aaron Judge, Carlos Correa, Justin Verlander has moved on to another team. Same with Trey Turner. We've talked about all of them. And a guy that's certainly making headlines himself, maybe available, maybe not. Sure would look good in a Mariners uniform, as I'm sure our guest that's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline has heard a time or 12. Jason Mackey, Pirates beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, is our guest here. Jason, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
We're good. We appreciate you taking a few minutes with us, and I would imagine you probably speak to a few different cities with questions about Brian Reynolds, who's made it clear he'd like to be playing elsewhere. First of all, was that a surprise that he was, you know, reading everything about him? Everybody talks about how quiet he is, what a great guy, and not that this makes him a bad guy, but just that, you know, he's very quiet and just does his work and is a true pro. Was there a surprise that he would come out and or his reps say that, yeah, I'd like to be elsewhere other than Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've gotten to know Brian pretty well over the years, and I was not expecting this at all. Ben Charrington talked yesterday and said he sort of expected it, but, I mean, this is not the Brian Reynolds that I know. I also understand, you know, learning more about the situation, why he did it, why it makes sense for him and his camp. And basically what it's a mechanism to try and get the contract that they feel like they're not going to get in Pittsburgh. You know, Reynolds' ask was fairly substantial in terms of years and dollars. I can't give exact numbers. And you know, the Pirates' offer was actually semi-respectable, but it was still pretty far away. And so, you know, he's most tradable with years of club control, which he still has. He's under contract in 2025. Obviously a very, very good player. He's going to make $6.5 million this year ahead of the winter meetings. Like, I understand why he sort of pulled the ripcord and why they did it now.
Well, Jason, tell us a little bit about the organization, because, you know, I'm not sure. I'm looking at Spotrac, but, you know, Pittsburgh Pirates not wanting to spend a lot of money, $28 million, according to their numbers. Where kind of is this franchise going?
Well, I mean, they're rebuilding, obviously. I don't know if you need me to tell you that, but I mean, they're trying to do things differently, and I give them credit. They're, you know, trying to do things the way they can most reliably succeed, and that's by, you know, taking a homegrown approach and prioritizing prospects. And, you know, I do think they're going to take a couple steps forward this year. They've lost 100 games in back-to-back years. They were at 100-loss pace in 2020. They haven't been very good. They haven't been very talented. And they've got a pretty decent farm system with some of those kids coming up. It is a bit of a tricky spot, though, with, you know, linking this to Reynolds, when he's going to be a free agent, when he's going to be through ARB3, ARB4, that sort of thing. Like, it doesn't necessarily line up with the Pirates' window of competition. So I think it does kind of make sense. But, I mean, you know, this is a team that, best case scenario, is going to have a win total in the mid-70s next year.
So how is he? Give us a sense of who he is. As I said, I read your article. I've read some other pieces on him, and they all echo the same things about his work ethic. And he's just a pro, nose to the grindstone, pretty quiet guy. What's the feeling out there amongst the fans? I mean, it feels like, hey, we've got a star here who's only 27 years old, but he doesn't want to be here. If they were to make that move and get what they could for him right now, how would I'm assuming that'd be poorly received out there, or are they sort of expecting it?
Yeah, no, I think it would be poorly received. It's been poorly received since he's made the trade demand, and I understand why. You know, fans have sort of taken this as a referendum on the Pirates, which they seem to do a lot. It seems like everything that happens with the Pirates, it's like some bigger picture story about them and why they suck, which, like, I don't know. I guess I kind of get that, you know, but I know why Reynolds did what he did, and it wasn't because he thinks the Pirates stink or whatever. It's just like, you know, it's not going to happen here. And I understand why you just get to a point where, like, you know, we're not going to ever meet where we need to meet. And so why are we wasting time? Like, the best scenario for me is going to be to do this. It's a bit of a hard decision. But anyway, as far as the fan sentiment and how it was received, like, you know, they really liked watching Brian Reynolds. He's a fun player. Very steady in center field. I have really enjoyed my interactions with him over the years as a beat writer. Like, you know, he's got a sneaky sense of humor. He's quiet. He's got this southern drawl, kind of talks like this, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't deviate much from that. But inside of that, like, he's really quick-witted. He's available. He doesn't say much, but, you know, he has some good lines now and then. He'll bounce around the clubhouse and joke around with people. He's got a good sense of humor, but he's got a good heart. He's available. He treats people decently. Like, if I'm playing Major League Baseball, he is 100% the type of guy I want in my clubhouse.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Now, you said he plays center field. Is he flexible, Jason? I mean, can he play the corners, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think he'd be fine. Had he stayed in Pittsburgh, he probably would have got some reps in left. Their left center at PNC Park, I'm sure you guys have been there, is pretty spacious. And so, I mean, it's sort of like two center fielders. And, I mean, he's perfectly capable in left or center. I don't think I've ever seen him play right field, but I don't get the sense that he would struggle doing that. You know, he's not a flashy, you know, make just these terrific acrobatic catches, but he generally gets pretty good reads on the ball. He knows his limitations. His arm is good enough. I don't think he would be out of place whatsoever in center field. At the same time, like, you know, if he needed to bump over to left, I don't think he'd care in the least. Like, he's just that guy. Like, you ask him to play shortstop, he'd probably do it if for some reason that was the best thing for his team.
So what's your expectation? Sort of a two-part question. A, do you expect that he will be in another uniform to start the season? And B, what do you think it takes to get him away from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I do expect him to be in a different uniform. You know, in conversations with people here, like, I have yet to talk to somebody who legitimately thinks he's going to stick with the Pirates. Like, even people with the Pirates are thinking, like, yeah, I mean, there's no way we can ride this out. You know, they put out the statement right after news broke that he wanted to be traded. But, you know, I mean, you sort of have to do that, right? You're just playing defense. You're trying to, you know, make it seem like you're not going to let him get away for nothing. I just don't know how you can continue down this road. And so, I mean, what it takes to get him, multiple MLB players, the Pirates in the past have sort of prioritized volume. You know, they've gotten 4 and 5 player deals, guys at lower levels for like Joe Musgrove, Jameson Taillon, and those deals worked at the time. I don't think that's what they're going to be targeting this time. I mean, they're going to be targeting, I would say, probably 2 major league ready players and a prospect. That's what they're targeting. I don't know if that's what they'll get. They'd like to add pitching. They'd like to add an outfielder. I think the prospect can kind of be anything, but, you know, I mean, if the price is going to be steep, we certainly know that. I think there are going to be several bidders for him. But, you know, if the Pirates can get themselves like a legitimate major league outfielder who's probably pre-arb, if they can get a starter who is at least capable of competing for starts and plus like a flyer down the road, I think it could make sense for them.
Hey, Jason, we were talking earlier about an article from Tom Verducci that was talking about the shift going away, and, you know, that the hard hit balls were the ones that, you know, those that hit the ball the hardest were the ones that were the most victimized. 90 miles per hour or more off the bat. That took like 80 points away from averages over the last 7 years. Does he hit the ball hard? And then B, just your thoughts in general of the shift going away this year.
I love it going away. Just to tackle the second part first. I am eager to see what semi-regular alignments will look like. I don't remember Reynolds getting a lot of like shift issues, for lack of a better term. I'm just speaking off the top of my head and not looking at like Savant or anything like that, but I can't remember that being an issue for him. The only thing that stands out to me, when he struggles, he has a tendency to really chase. And we saw that at the beginning of 2022. He went through a 2-month stretch. He was horrible. I mean, just horrible. Was swinging at pitches. His plate discipline, like, I mean, I swore I was watching a different hitter. And then all of a sudden, like, the calendar flipped. He actually was in San Diego, of all things, and he, like, one day randomly decided to shave his head. And, like, I don't know, the bad juju went away or something like that. And he just sort of chilled out and started to look like the Brian Reynolds of old, started to hit a few more home runs and settled down. But anyway, to answer the question, I don't remember him being, like, a big shift ball guy or anything.
Do you have a sense of where you'd like to go? Obviously, you'd like to win, but is he a West Coast guy? And he's, I know he was, I saw that he's born in Baltimore. I don't know where, if he grew up there or not, but is he, do you know that he's an East Coast person, Midwest? How do you see that?
He's an East Coast kid. He lives in Tennessee, just outside of Nashville, and that's where he spent most of his childhood. He grew up in Brentwood, Tennessee. I mean, I don't think he cares. I think he wants to win. You know, like the Braves were a team that was interested. That would make sense. The Mariners seem to have a really good young group. I think that would work. He's got a wife and two little kids. You know, somewhere where they would be in a good position. I think both those cities would check those boxes. You know, he doesn't have the personality for like a New York. At the same time, I don't think he's not going to be moved by how they ask questions or how they, you know, the media drill works there. Like I've seen a lot of Reynolds and I have not seen that man change one bit. Like he does not care, you know, he's just going to be himself. And I love that about him. I've told him that, you know, so I think he wants to win, but it probably, you know, doesn't really matter much.
Jason Mackey, beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, has been our guest here with Wyman and Bob. Jason, really appreciate you taking the time and, thanks so much for that, and we'll see what happens with him, see where he ends up. Hopefully it's out here in Seattle. If he is, in fact, going to move, this would be a fantastic spot. So if you could pass that along to him, that'd be great.
Yeah, put a good word in for us, Jason.
I come out there twice this summer. I would love to come out to Seattle and see Brian Reynolds play some ball. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Jason. There you go. Jason Mackey, Pirates beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, with nothing but great things to say about him. You know, just a great guy who's quiet. I read a story that Lefko attached, and it sounds like there's little to be concerned with, other than, all right, what's the asking price going to be? Because, you know, just, and it's just Jason's opinion, but asking him, do you think he's elsewhere to start the season? He absolutely believes he will, and talk to others around the organization that think the same thing. So sounds like, all right, if take him at his word, he's going to end up somewhere else. Why not here? I wonder what it would take if they want a couple of major league players and a prospect. Maybe we could interest them in a Kelnick, Marco, and a prospect package. How would that be?
Yeah, well, then Kelnick would go there and just rake.
Would you? So, well, would you make that deal? Would you ship
right now
Kelnick over with? Maybe it would be Marco. I don't know yeah, all their like needs, that. But yeah, say it's. I'm just obviously throwing this out there right now. But Kelnick, Marco, in a prospect, would you do that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I love Marco. I mean, hate saying that and making him, I guess, a part of that. But I don't know. I am kind of leery of you know, shipping Kelnick off, just because I feel like at some point he's going to go off and you're going to be really sad that you didn't keep him here. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I didn't hear much. I don't know. Remember we talked to Adam Frazier, which he came here from San Diego, right?
He went to San Diego from Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it just sounds like the kind of frustration that it seems like, you know, they're in Pittsburgh, that they just, you know, you play for an ownership group that doesn't really seem to care about winning, and it doesn't seem to want to commit anything to it. And so just, you know, the fact that he wants out and that he's, you know, fired up about it and wants to win makes me think, you know, he's probably pretty comfortable there. And I'm not sure what his contract did. Do we see that number? But I just
$6.5 million this coming season with two more years of arbitration.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like for him to want out means the guy's got a good heart. Like he wants to win.
Yeah.
You know, that's what matters to him.
To me, that's kind of a good sign. Not that he's, you know, and it sounds like he's not, you know, he's not holding his breath and stomping his feet to get me the heck out of here and, you know, going scorched earth or anything. And in fact, the article that Jason had written said quite the opposite, that even if it doesn't happen, they expect him to be exactly the same player he's been and be that leader in the clubhouse, and that's just who he is. But yeah, they understand the business part of this. So
yeah,
yeah, I just I feel like, you know, this is the kind of move that the Mariners can make. It's not Carlos Correa, it's not Aaron Judge, it's not Trey Turner in terms of, you know, spotlight and name value, but it's a really good player who's young still. He's 27, he'll be 28 next month. Who's proven to be very good and by all accounts great guy, switch hitter, he's an outfielder, you need an outfielder. You know, we played that cut from Jerry earlier. So it feels like he addresses what your needs are and maybe comes at a price that's not quite what the big guys are commanding, certainly. So it just feels like, boy, that just kind of fits, doesn't it? I don't know if it'll happen. I would assume they would be interested, but yeah, I don't know. It feels like it could be a good move. It could be a good move for the Mariners if they could figure out a way to get it done.
Well, does it bother you? I mean, he was kind of like, yeah, I mean, he could play the corner. Sure, yeah, he could play out there.
Well, I was looking at his splits. The majority of his time has been in center field.
Yeah.
So he's been primarily a center fielder without question. So, and he's had some second most would be in left field. So he's played and he's a little bit of time in right. So I don't have any doubts. Again, we're going on his word and just looking at numbers, not watching Pirate games. But I don't really have any fear of that. I don't have any fear of that. And I think you're right. There's always a fear anytime you ship off a young guy. If you were to trade Kelnick, yeah, of course you see that he has ability. You see that it's yet to be realized, and we don't know if it will be at the plate. We've seen it in the outfield. He's a very good defensive player. So yeah, you run that risk. That's always the risk. You know, you're trading potential for proven commodity, and that potential could be through the roof, or he could just be a guy that's pretty solid player, but not a star.
When you look at Major League Baseball versus NFL, because that's always been my biggest thing, like with the draft and with young guys, that I'll always take a proven commodity over, you know, a prospect, just because I don't know. I think maybe I'm biased because I concentrate more on the NFL and football, but I think that's the most difficult sport to make the transition. But maybe it's Major League Baseball. Do you feel as strongly about that with Major League Baseball, that a bird in the hand versus two in the bush, or do you think the NFL is more urgent that way?
I don't know. They're just so different because you draft a guy in baseball and then you don't see him for a couple of years unless you're going traveling to minor league parks around the country. You hear their name, you hear the hype, you hear about everything that they've got in terms of ceiling and what they do well and what they're going to develop. And then they're just kind of out of your consciousness for a while, right? You're focused on the big club as a fan. And whereas football, you watch them at the college level, you have some level of familiarity with them, and then they're on your team immediately. Yeah, maybe it's a slow build, but you see them. You might see them on special teams. You might see them in a couple plays here and there, depending on who they are. But it's a much more immediate evaluation in football than it is certainly than baseball, because it could be a few years before you see these guys. So to answer your question, yeah, I think there's a huge bust rate in baseball. There's a huge bust rate in any pro sport. But yeah, I would take if it's about Kelnick and it's about what he may be versus what Reynolds is, I'll take Reynolds.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, that's the thing that I know that our boy Divish has brought up, that, you know, your prospects, nobody ever won a banner. You don't hang a banner for having the best farm, operation. You know, you hang it from winning games. And that's kind of what all of your prospects are for. That's and I think everybody kind of forgets about that. But, yeah, that's to me, I don't complain too much when they trade away prospects. It doesn't really bother me. So yeah, I'm the same way. And I think baseball is probably a bigger mystery than the NFL. I feel like baseball, you know, because we talked about this with Geno Smith. So in year 10, all of a sudden he becomes the guy who, I mean, that usually happens in baseball. You know, football, it's like the second year to me anyway. Sometimes it's third year. Sometimes it's a guy like Penny. He is very confusing.
Right.
Couldn't really figure out what Rashad Penny was going to be. And now he's hurt again. But I mean, he kind of showed us the last couple of seasons that that he can be that guy. So he's kind of the outlier. But for the most part, it's like your second, third year. Whereas Major League Baseball, you just don't know it. You know, it could all of a sudden, you know, like Paul Sewald is probably the best example I can think of.
Yeah.
At least that we have here, that at age 30, he makes his debut and then becomes just a huge solid part at age 32, 33 in the Mariners bullpen.
Here's a thought from Jerry DePoto, just talking about he feels like, you know, they've gotten better this offseason, but they're not going to primarily build around free agents.
We've opted to spend most of our payroll dollars in extending our young players or the guys we get to know, like a Castillo. We've done over $500 million in extensions in the last calendar year, and we're going to continue to build that way as we view ourselves as a draft, develop, and trade team, and we'll augment via free agency. I'd be shocked if we don't sign a free agent, but I don't think that we're planning to build our team around free agents, more help them augment our team.
I'd be shocked if we don't sign a free agent. It's kind of funny because you're kind of the guy in control.
Yeah.
There was a certain person we used to have on the show that would say, "Yeah, I'm surprised I think that." Like, how can that happen?
Yeah, I don't. I would be shocked if they didn't sign a free agent as well. It's just at what level is that free agent? It's not one of those guys. It's not one of the big names. It's not Xander Bogaerts or Dansby Swanson or those names. I don't think. I think he's just talking about a free agent to augment what they already have. It sounds like. You know, he talked about draft and develop and trade, and that's how they do it. All right, well, this is a trade we're talking about with Reynolds. So this fits the criteria. This isn't, you know, offering $300 million to Trey Turner. This is a guy who's established, who's still young in the game, who's going to want to be paid, but is coming at a price of $6.5 million for the upcoming season and a couple of arbitration years as well. So I don't know. He just seems to fit what they like to do. Now, there's competition. It's not like the Mariners are the only team that are going to be interested in him.
Right.
So what kind of package the Pirates are going to get in return, that's the bottom line. You know, does it get too rich for the Mariners' blood where they're like, listen, we can't give up this prospect and this guy and, you know, who are Kelnick, Marco, whoever they may want off the Major League roster as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how greedy the Pirates get or how much they ask for, because you got to feel like teams know they don't have to trade Reynolds, but it would behoove them to trade Reynolds. You're not going to get more for him next year when, you know, you're moving the arbitration years down the road. You're going to have one fewer, and he's going to be a little bit older. So everybody knows he wants out of there now. So it's a little different dynamic with every club knowing, oh, he wants out of there. They need to trade him to get the best possible return right now.
All right.
So we'll see. Hopefully he ends up here, Dave. I'd be really, really excited about that.
That'd be cool.
All right, coming up, how has he emerged as the leader for the Seahawks this season? We're going to get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Our thanks to Jason Mackey, who joined us in the previous segment, in case you guys just tuned in. He covers the Pirates for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Get some insight on Brian Reynolds, who's made it clear he'd like to be traded from Pittsburgh. So check that out on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Really good stuff. Painting a nice picture of Brian Reynolds. And again, we'll see what it'll take to get him out of Pittsburgh. A reminder, I did that video yesterday, Dave, of the Bob's Baseball Breakdown, answering questions from Brent Stecker.
Yes.
And I, much like Twitter or even on our text, I really enjoy seeing commenters fight with each other.
That's your favorite. You like that.
I think it's hilarious. I don't, especially on our text, because they can't read each other's comments the way they can on a story or on Twitter. Here, they're just hearing us say, the 425 says X, Y, and Z, and then the other one will be, well, you tell the 425, the 206, shut the hell up. They're dumb. They don't. But, yeah, there was a little bit of that going on of, did you read what I wrote? I saw what you wrote, but what I said is, I'm just kind of reading the back and forth amongst commenters, and then there are always the people that if you express an opinion that's different than theirs, then you're dumb and you don't know anything about baseball. There's always those, which I find entertaining. So
yeah.
Check out the video if you want, and go ahead and comment. Get involved. Jump in.
Yeah, Bob's encouraging it. It's your fault, Bob. Pretty much caused the whole thing.
Yeah.
What were they arguing about, by the way?
I can't even remember, to be honest. It was something just about how the Mariners should approach the offseason, I think, and whether you go big time free agents, whether you develop the youth. You know, it's your own perspective. It's I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer. And then some got mad that I was referencing the guy we talked to about Colton Wong. That we talked to the guy from Milwaukee.
Right.
Remember, and he said, great guy. I repeat everything he said. He's a great guy, but he had 17 errors last year. Probably should have had more. There was some favorable scoring in the hometown and didn't paint the greatest picture. And I was relaying that. And then people were like, gosh, so negative. What a party pooper. I'm like, I didn't say these aren't my numbers. This is what the guy who covers him said. So I'm just passing along the information. And I'm sorry. I should be more excited about that. I apologize. Apparently that's negative. So yeah, it's always entertaining though to read the comments. So I'd say go ahead, get involved, check out the video. It's out there if you guys want to jump into the fray. It's I tweeted out the links at Bob Stelton on Twitter, at Wyman and Bob on Twitter, or you can go to seattlesports.com. The article's up there. And if you don't want to even watch the video, you can just read the comments and enjoy those.
Right. I'll just fan the flame a little bit. The texters, the people that respond, they don't know. they don't know what's going on.
There you go.
What don't they know? They just don't know anything.
You don't know.
They don't know.
You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Now they're going to fire on you. meanwhile, we talked about Gino and just his leadership this year, and that game on Sunday went a long way in terms of the way he finished it, I think, into maybe solidifying some of the opinions of him. But there was also the little sideline back and forth with him and Ken Walker that was caught on camera, and some people were concerned about that. And Pete talking about this, and we touched on this earlier in case you just tuned in, but Pete talking about Gino and said, you know, this, he's a competitor. He's kind of a hothead.
We didn't have him in those situations enough to really know what it was going to be like. And we know Gino now. We know him and love him. And, you know, like all of us, you know, you take us for our good and our bad stuff. We don't all have it all right all the time. Gino has been remarkably on point, particularly when you've had a chance to interview him and you hear his response and how, you know, respects everybody and spreads it around to everybody and all that. Gino's a hothead now. He's a fierce competitor. And that doesn't mean that he's fierce and he's always right on point. You know, he's going to say the right thing. He's going to say the wrong thing. He's best when you guys see him. But out there now, he gets pissed. And so it's important that, you know, that we help him and that he knows now. He knows that in these settings that he might fly off the handle a little bit because he cares so much. But he's learned how to come right back.
I love hothead.
Yeah,
you know, whenever I hear that term, I always think of the Heat Miser.
Oh yeah, Christmas
Remember
time,
Heat Miser?
Of course, Mr. Freeze, Mr.
Heat
Freeze,
Miser. Yeah.
Was he the other one, Mr. Freeze?
Gosh, what was his name? I just know Heat Miser was always angry. He was a hot.
Yeah, he had the hair that was straight up in there.
Yeah. My daughter dressed up like that the other day for whatever reason. Yeah, and it was
the other day for whatever reason.
She has orange hair now for, I guess it's temporary.
She's hairsprayed it up.
Yeah, like the Heat Miser.
Did you get a picture? You got to show me the picture.
Yeah, she said, I'm Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. 101. That's a hothead for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody said, hothead? What do you mean by that? And he's like, well, you know, I mean, he's fiery, I guess, would be a good way to say that. I think everybody sort of overreacted to the hothead thing. But
does that equate to a leader?
Yeah, it can, right? I mean, you and I talked about it in the first segment about Dan Marino. Is Dan Marino a leader?
Yeah.
So he lit people up.
Yeah, Brady, Peyton Manning. We've seen all the Aaron Rodgers. We've seen all those guys. We've seen Jay Cutler shoving his O-lineman. We've seen that just seems to be quarterbacks for the most part are pretty calm and composed. But there's been more than a few examples of guys who will scream at a receiver or an O-lineman or tight end or whatever.
We saw Kyler Murray do that a little bit, I guess. I don't know if you want to call him a leader or not. I don't know. The jury, I think, is out on Kyler Murray. But yeah, I think that's something where, I guess for me, I kind of made a mistake. Like, you know, when we were talking about Gino and how he got in a fight in the locker room, and like, you don't get in fights if you're a quarterback, you know, a fist fight anyway. But he's different. You know, so that we're just kind of getting to know him. And that's the thing that we sort of lamented over at the beginning of the show was that we just don't get a chance to, like, I've never heard Gino speak in person. Like, I've never had a conversation with him, never sat down and interviewed him or anything. We only hear it during the, you know, the press, days where he's up at the podium. So
right.
We just don't get a chance to really know who he is. And, you know, you can be a hothead and be a leader. That's fine. You know, everybody kind of knows that what the deal is. As long as you have a good heart and you're all for your team, and he seems to be.
Yeah, and that's the difference. You know, that would be my only question is does he have that latitude with this group? And it feels like he does because he's new to it. While he's not new to the league, he's been here for a decade. He's new to being the man, to being the not the guy who's filling in for the injured man like he was last year. Everybody, it was Russ's job, and Geno's just holding that spot. He comes in this season. That's your job. You're the man now, and things are going well for him. And I would assume that respect grows in that locker room, and to where he does have a little bit of slack to lose his temper. I mean, I'm sure nobody loves it, but they understand it, and they will absorb it the way they did with Marino and those guys. Not saying he's on the same level yet, but just, you know, when you have that respect, I would assume it's okay versus, hey, who the hell is this guy? He's played six games or whatever it is. If he was lighting them up after game four or five, maybe that's not so well as well received as it is now.
Right. And, you know, the one guy he got in a fight with is a rookie on the sidelines. And, you know, it was with Ken Walker. And I'm sure they're best of friends now. You know, that stuff passes quickly. But I just think, you know, if you're a rookie and you see a guy like that, you got to have a lot of respect for him. I mean, here he is, especially if you know his story, sitting behind, you know, Hall of Famers, really, and Philip Rivers and, you know, Russ and
Eli.
So, you know, and he just waited, and now he's playing really well. He's playing as well as pretty much any quarterback in the league. So, I think that there's a lot of respect for him. So, yeah, there's always room for different kinds of personalities, I think, in a football locker room.
Hey, a reminder, Seattle Sports has your chance to win tickets to see the Seahawks host the 49ers on December 15th for Thursday Night Football at Lumen Field. For info and a direct link to enter the sweepstakes, just text the word Thursday to our text line at 866-979-3776. Again, text the word Thursday to 866-979-3776 for a link to enter. There's a big number being thrown out for Geno Smith, even bigger than we've heard before. That's coming up when we sweep the dial. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Rashad Penny, I guess, mentioned in passing on Sunday that he could maybe be back for the playoffs. And Pete Carroll was asked about that yesterday and said, all right, well, like that, but maybe tone down the enthusiasm.
Well, you got to love his optimism. He hasn't run yet. You know, so who knows what's going to happen. But he's still a ways from getting back. But I love that he felt really good about the process that he's in right now, and that's a good sign.
I'm going to go with that one. Who knows?
I like that he hasn't run yet.
Yeah.
Like running. You know, I'll tell this story some other time. I'll tease ahead. Did I ever tell you I chased down a purse snatcher one time, Bob?
You did. Weren't you in cowboy boots?
I was.
Yeah.
And
you're like Jerry Seinfeld slipping on the ice.
Yeah, exactly. But I had not run at that point. I was coming off a knee injury, and I was, you know, I wasn't supposed to run. And I ran after him. That was at a point, it just reminded me of that because I was at a point where, you know, you get to like walk on the treadmill is what you do. And that's kind of an old man workout. And the reason why I know that is because I do it. That's probably where he's at right now. But it's just a totally different thing. Like just running even.
Yeah.
If you just ran in a straight line, that is so not what you do on the football field. So.
Planting, cutting, getting hit from the side, getting hit. It's...
Well, and just, you know, running back, you're carrying the ball. Everybody wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Everybody's taking a shot at you. So that's really cool, though, that he is that excited. But I think Pete kind of laughing like, oh, that's cute. That's cute.
Sweeping the dial.
I know we all kind of did a double take when we initially heard Brady Henderson say maybe $33 million a year for Geno Smith. Well, yesterday on his podcast, Richard Sherman said that could be an even higher number for Geno.
You ain't dreaming, baby. Geno is playing some good football. You're going to look up this offseason and see Geno making more than $30 million, $35 million. potentially $40 million, because somebody going to have to pay Geno to do what he's doing for them, because it's not fluky throws. He is out there threading the needle. He is saying, hey, this is the guy y'all was looking for out of West Virginia. It took me a second to get here, but hello.
$40 million.
I can't believe it.
I don't believe that. Maybe I'll be proven wrong and I'll own it, but $40 million, if the Seahawks did that, that would put them right back in the spot that everybody was complaining about with Russ. You're spending far too much of your salary cap on one player. It impacts your ability to put the proper team around him and everybody, all the needs you have at different positions, what have you. Now, they do have the luxury of a lot of rookies who are starting and contributing, so you do have lower salaries currently the way it used to be when Russ was here, before Sherm signed an extension, before Cam signed. So you're kind of in that spot again, but you're almost immediately putting yourself back in the position that all of our texters and fans were lamenting, that that's far too much to pay to one individual and it's too much of a negative impact across the board.
Well, I don't know about $40 million. What I was agreeing with Richard Sherman is that he is threading the needle. I mean, he's making really good throws. The only thing is, how do you approach that if you're somebody else? You're going, okay, it took him 10 years to get there. Why is he so good, you know, all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it would cause a lot of fans, like, wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, we got to go get Geno Smith. I mean, I think there would be, you know, some hesitation there. So I'm not so sure about $40 million, but it's pretty amazing that we're even having this conversation, because we thought maybe it was going to be Drew Locke. We thought maybe at one point it was going to be Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Kind of weird that, you know, both of those guys just – not working out at all. So yeah, very very unlikely that he is playing this way, I think was the situation we're in. But I don't know about $40 million, but
sweet.
Maybe Matt thought I was gonna say something else there.
You're gonna keep going there.
Maybe yeah. 41 million.
Well, New Mariner Colton Wong was on with Bump and Stacey yesterday. He was asked about his role, because it's assumed he'll come in and play second base. But Jerry DePoto has said, well, we have Dylan Moore out there as well. And Colton said, sounds like he's fine with wherever and whenever he's needed.
I don't really know the exact role that I'll be doing. Obviously, second base is a key to me. But what Dylan did last year, second base, and the platoon that we could possibly have, you know, I'm excited for that. Obviously, you know, you want to be a guy that's playing every day. But in this day and age and how the game's going, I think you got to understand your role as a player and as a person. And for me, I just want to come into the team and do my part, you know, whatever that is, whatever they want me to do. You know, I want to just be able to be there to, you know, help some of the young guys, kind of, you know, help them through, you know, their early stages of you know, big league baseball, but also kind of be the guy to be able to fill in the spots that the Mariners need, you know, whether it's, you know, coming in to play defense late or playing against only righties, whatever I have to do, you know, I'm excited to just come in and be able to help this team.
He's got a good attitude. I like the attitude, you know, and it doesn't sound like they've sat him down and said, here's how we see this playing out. So I guess we'll all find out. But he's, you know, he's a veteran. He's 32 years old. He's going to go to a situation that's a winning situation currently, back-to-back 90-win seasons. So, yeah, if you're a manager, if you're a GM, you love hearing the new acquisition saying, hey, whatever they want me to do, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I thought it was also kind of stood out to me that how easily he knew exactly who Dylan Moore was, you know, like he had been paying attention to him and stuff. So, yeah, it looks like he's gonna fit in nicely, be a good piece there. I'm excited to see him. I know everybody was giving me crap last week because I was like, yeah, well, that might be your second baseman. That might be the only move. What are you talking about? You're crazy. They've got to do something else. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll see. Maybe that's where it ends for next year.
They still need to address the outfield, I think. Yeah, they've said as much. So
I'm talking about second
base. Oh, yeah. We'll see. He might be one of your second basemen, it sounds like. He's not the second baseman.
The second baseman?
Yeah, he's one of them, apparently. We'll see how that goes. All right, there's plenty going on around both baseball and the NFL. We're going to catch up with El Hombre Michael Bradley to touch on all of it. It is Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.